Today is Wednesday, May 15th. This is the women's chumash year. We're up to Bereshit Perek Yudchet, beginning today Pasuk Tet. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Bereshit Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Tet. So the festivities are over, the party's done, and now the three malachim come to inform Abraham exactly what their mission is. Vayomru elav, aye Sarah ishtecha. Where is your wife Sarah? Vayomer hine ba'ohel. She is in the tent. So, as always, we'll start with Rashi. And Rashi decides to make a comment on the fact that if you look on the top of the word Elav, the letters Aleph, Yud, Vav have a dot on it. And in the Torah itself, even though there are no nikudot in the Torah, there are no vowel sounds in the Torah, there are no end of pasuk, there's nothing there, just one, unless it's the end of a unit. However, these dots are there. The dots on top of the word, a letter Aleph, the letter Yud, and the letter Vav. It happens occasionally, not frequently, but occasionally in the Torah. I'm not sure exactly who told us to put these dots on top of the letters. I'm not quite sure. Does it go back to Moshe Rabbeinu himself? I don't think so. I'm not sure exactly. But yes?
Is it Sephardi and Ashkenazi?
Every single Torah of the world, it has this dot. And there are, it is very significant. Every time that the Torah uses the dot, it is significant in teaching us something. So Rashi will comment here, and then I'm going to show you a couple of choice illustrations where the dot is used and its significance. It's because you come across it, and I'm not sure the next time we're going to come something with a dot across it, and so I want you to know it. No, it does not impact the trup at all. The trup is here, Zakev Katon. Vayomru Elav. You read it ignoring the dots and so on and so forth. Just read it regularly. It only impacts the text in the Sefer Torah, has no impact on the reading whatsoever. So, Rashi says, Nakud Al Aleph Yud Vav Shebe'elav. Vitanya, we learned in a Braita, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kol Makom Shehaksav Rabba Al Hanikuda Ata Doresh Haksav. The dot on a word is there to teach you something. So rule of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is that if the dots are if the letters that are not dotted, that's the ksav, meruba al hanikuda, then you look at the dot as being something to take out of the clause. Look and focus on only on the letters that were what? That were Undotted. I'm going to show you an example of that today. So you will doresh, you will try to infer some significance based on the letters that were not dotted.
Yes, and some of the words are all dotted?
Yes. Yes. In some words, that'll be our first stop after we read the Rashi, all of the letters are dotted. Vikan hanikuda Rabba al Haksav. Here, the majority of the letters have a dot, and the minority, only the Lamed, does not have a dot. Therefore, ata doresh hanikuda. You now emphasize something, a word that can be formed from an omission of the what? Of the dot. Sha'af lisara sho'alu ayo Avraham. Ayo Avraham. Vayomru ayo, they said to Sarah, where is Abe? Where is Avraham? Lomadnu, and what do we learn from this? Sheyish al Adam be'achsan yishelo le'ish al ha'isha ulisha al ha'ish. That when you ask and inquire about the welfare of somebody, so if you meet Mr. Somebody, you should ask Mr. Somebody about his wife. If you meet the Mrs., you should ask the Mrs. about her husband. Fine. Very nice. Now, this is a very strange interpretation of Rashi. Why is it strange interpretation? Because let's assume this happened. You are Sarah Rabotai. Okay? These three guys have been in the tent for quite some time. They've been eating all types of delicacies. And now, they're going to come over to you and say, where is Avraham? No. No. They're talking to Sarah. Where are you? Where is Avraham? So tell me, as Sarah, you're all Sarah, and now the angels come in and ask, well, what are you going to, what's going to be your reaction? I'm the angel.
He's right here.
What are you, ripped? You're just talking to him. Where is he? Spent 3 hours in the kitchen with him. Who is he asking me such a silly question? I am. Is that enough? Now, Sarah, I can hear the question. I can hear it. Why? Because as the Gemara will say in a second, Rashi will say, they may never have seen Sarah. Their entire dialogue and interaction was with Avraham, and we know that Sarah was in the kitchen. You don't bring guests into the kitchen. You know, so it's okay, it's appropriate, and you have no idea who's doing the cooking in the kitchen. So it's an appropriate question. I have a message for Sarah. Where is she? But for them to ask Sarah, Ayo Avraham, is a kind of strange question, because she knows very well that they were with him. She heard the whole tumult, obviously. She was asked by Abe to please Mahari Shloseim Kemach Solet Lushi Vaasi Ugot. She was asked to do something on behalf of these three guys, so it would be a very strange question to ask at this time. I can understand the lesson that you want to learn from. Yes, that it might be appropriate to ask, to inquire about a wife when you speak to the husband, and inquire about a husband when you speak to the wife. That I can understand. But that the source of this halakha should be from this particular question, Ayo Avraham, is a little forced. It doesn't. You have to read the question. You have to read the word two different ways. First, of course, you read it al pi pshat. Vayomru elav aye Sarah ishtecha. That's the simple reading. Of course, you don't ignore the pshat. Never ignore the pshat. You read the pshat. Now, after you read the pshat, you come up with a drash. Not all did they ask about Avraham. They asked Sarah, where's Avraham? At a different time. So then you read it a little differently. Vayomru ayo Avraham ba'alech. Yes.
Maybe what they're asking Sarah is, where's the real Avraham? Avraham is the normal Avraham, who's not suffering from the Hema. In other words, he's acting differently.
No.
In
Your Hasidic background has surfaced not only once, but prominently today.
A Hasidic Rebbe would say that at Shal Shudas Torah. Shal Shudas Torah.
That's not the pshat.
It's not the pshat. But anyhow, it's a good Shal Shudas Torah. Yeah. Yes. Now comes another comment which Rashi makes. Bibava Mitzia Omrim Yodim Hayu Malachei Hasharet Sara Imenu Heichen Haita. They knew very well where Sarah was. They are angels. Angels know everything. Elo Hodia Shetsnua Haita Kidele Chabeba Al Ba'ala. In order to teach him that what? To teach him that that she, Sarah, was very modest, was in the kitchen, so that she will become even more appreciated in his eyes. Kidei lechabeba al ba'ala. That's what the Gemara says. And this is also a difficult remark. Difficult remark. You mean to tell me Avraham had no clue that Sarah was a tznu'ah? Now he's 100 years old. Wow, my wife is a tznu'ah. How do I know? Because they asked me, where is Sarah? And I have to report, hinei ba'ohel. It's a very difficult comment. Again, I can appreciate the sentiments and the value of recognizing that she was a tznu'ah, but on the other hand, it's a little difficult to say that this is now appreciate. Now he's going to appreciate the fact that she's a tznu'ah. Very difficult.
No, she was beautiful until the Egyptians wanted to kidnap her.
That's no. Rashi said when she saw the right. He looked at the river. He looked at the river. He saw the reflection.
Right.
That's also a difficult comment.
Right. So
you make Avraham that he never looked at Sarah and appreciate her beauty. It tries to make the avot holy, holy, holy people, and they never looked at a woman before. It's a little difficult. It's a little difficult. But anyhow, that's what Rashi says.
Is the idea of hiding a woman from male visitors based on this? Or is this the way they did it in those days?
I can't answer that question, but the answer is probably yes. This might be the source. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I think whether the way Hashem says Adam,
right? Right? Perhaps. Good. First, before we go on, I want to dedicate this year to the yard site, to the memory of Yehuda Aryeh Leib ben Yisachar Dov Beirish. Quite a number of names for a gabbai. That's Leora Feinberg's father, whose yard site was 2 days ago. And I have a strong bond with him, even though I don't remember him very long. Died how many years ago? 24 years ago. But he was a Baal Tefillah. Especially in the Queens Valley Jewish Center. Queens Jewish Center, who had an outstanding rav for so many years. Outstanding rav. That was Rabbi Grunblatt. Was a great darshan, very fine Talmud Chacham. He was a very good rav. Very good rav. So, and this should be Le'ilui Nishmato, as he looks down at Leora, sitting in class. In fact, the Rebbeinu Shlomo was talking to him, and he said, I have to excuse myself, because I have to watch the class. Okay. So that's what Rashi says, and the whole point of departure are the dots. In other places,
the dots are far more compelling. So please open up for a second. I'm just going to get a full panache to get you to write. It's in Parshas Vayishlach. At the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, it's an encounter between Yaakov and Esav. It says in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Dalid, Perek Lamed Dalid, Pasuk Lamed, Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Dalid. Vayarat Esav Likrato, Vayichabkehu, Vayipol Al Tzavarav, Vayishakehu. Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Dalet. Esav runs towards Yaakov, embraces him, and he kissed him. That's what it says, Vayishakehu. That's what it says. Rashi, however, says, Vayishakehu, he bit him. Instead of Nishika with a kuf, Rashi says, Nishika with a kuf. And everybody asks the question, how did Rashi get to Nishika from a Nishika? It's the exact opposite intent. And the answer is the dots. The dots teach you at times, don't read the word, don't translate it in the simple way. It's a funny thing. It may have looked like he kissed him. But what did he do instead of kissing him? He bit him. And the only one who would know about that, of course, is the Torah. Because an outsider looks like he's kissing. He's bending over, kissing him by the face. Who knows where he kissed him? But you can't tell whether when your lips are plastered on somebody, are you biting or kissing? But the dots on the word indicate, and it has to mean something, otherwise there would be no dots on the word Vayishakehu. Every letter is dotted, so the entire word has to be reinterpreted. That leads to the Midrash to say he bit him and did not kiss him. That's one example. One example. Then go to Bamidbar chapter 9. It is verse 10. Second, Viderech Rechoka. There is a dot only on the letter He. Perek Tet Pasuk Yud. Ish Ish, this is talking about Pesach Sheni. Ish Ish Kiye Tamelo Nefesh, O Viderech Rechoka. Two categories of people are allowed to bring a Korban Pesach Sheni and avoid the karet penalty for having failed to offer a Korban Pesach Rishon. Two categories. One, if you are Tamei Lanefesh, if you were Tamei at the time of the bringing of the first Korban. So if you're Tamei, you're not allowed to enter the Beit HaMikdash. Under those circumstances, that's an excused absence. Obviously, you can't walk into the Mikdash Betumba. So there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a second opportunity with Pesach Sheni. The second person who is excused is somewhat of a shocker if you are at a distance away from Yerushalayim. Derech Rechoka. And Derech Rechoka, if you read the word without the dot, because that's the pshat, it is a certain distance away from Yerushalayim. Rabbi Akiva says, Min Modi'in Ulechutz. From Modi'in, not Modi'in Elit, Modi'in Ulechutz. The Modi'in. So if you go to Route 443, which I know you always avoid because one guy once threw a stone there or something, but it's much faster than taking Route 1 to Yerushalayim, 443. So as soon as you make the turn out of Modi'in, there's a big sign, Yerushalayim is 28 kilometers away. 28 kilometers. So if you are a distance of 28 kilometers away from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, you are exempt from Korban Pesach if you are at that location at Alot HaShachar, daybreak, Erev Pesach. If you are already on the road and you're at that Arab gas station on Route 443, which nobody goes to anymore, because unfortunately an Israeli was killed there about a year or two ago. So if you're there, that's within 28 kilometers. You have to continue to walk, make the trek, and come to Yerushalayim on time. And if you don't, you have blown the opportunity to offer Pesach Sheni, and you are chayav karet for having failed to offer the Korban Pesach in its proper time. I did. You know why I did that with you? When we started learning the Chumash class, we started with Pasha Falos.
Okay, so
that's it. How many years ago was that?
A long time ago.
30 years ago, 40 years ago. Excellent memory. So Rabbi Akiva says that it means Richoka. Rabbi Eliezer says, you know what Richoka means? He's standing right out of the doorstep of the Harabai. Correct. Adam, he's standing right outside the Beis Hamikdash, right outside the Har HaBayit. Amar Rav Yossi, lefikach nakud al hay. Therefore, there is a dot on the letter hay to teach us that Rabbi Eliezer is correct. That the exemption and enabling you to bring Pesach Sheni is not to be measured based on a physical distance, but you can be standing right outside. First of all, how does the dot on the letter hey indicate that?
Whether it's feminine or masculine.
Correct. So then it depends what the pasuk is talking about. So now look at the pasuk. Ish ish ki yeh tameh lo nefesh o b'derech richoka. Richoka modifies the word derech. Derech is lashon nikeva. Even though the Torah is, the Gemara itself debates whether the word derech is zachar or nekeva, but most of the time it's written as nekeva. So richoka as an adjective would be perfect for derech. If you drop the letter hey, because there's only a dot on the hey, so now which one does Rashi tell us you're supposed to read? How are you supposed to darshan? Not the nakud, but rather the ksav, the letters that are written without a dot. That's what Rashi just told us. If a minority of letters have a dot, darshan the other ones. So now it says resh chaf kuf, which is not rechoka, but rather what? Rachok. So who is it modifying in this pasuk? The ish. The ish is either what? Tamei lanefesh, or the ish is rachok. What does it mean, rachok? He's not ready spiritually to step over the divide. He's just not prepared emotionally and spiritually to bring a Korban Pesach. He's not ready for it. Korban Pesach is a very important statement for us. It's apropos, Pesach Sheni is in a couple of days. Today is what? Today's Yud. So, Sunday is Pesach Sheni. So, if you take a look, open up to Perek Tetzayin of Sefer Dvarim. Perek Tetzayin. Now we're going off track, but it's okay. Perek Tetzayin. So you should remember Perek Tetzayin of Sefer Dvarim, because we just read it, last day of Pesach. We will read it again, second day of Shavuos. It's a Kriya Sator that they hardly read music because there's no second day. They don't have to read it on the second day of Shavuos. There is no second day of Shavuos. They don't have to read it on the last day of Yom Kippur. No last day of Yom Kippur, Pesach. This is a Golos reading.
I'm sure they read it during.
So the, yeah, of course, Parshas Re'eh, they read it. So there, Perek Tetzayin of Sefer Dvarim talks about the three festivals. It is the Parsha of Aliyah L'Rei. And that's why only Chagatnaxos, Chagashavuos, and Chagasukot are mentioned here. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is not mentioned. The two other places where the Torah focuses on the festivals is Vayikra 23, which remember you have to know by heart. Told you that, you gotta know that parak by heart. Vayikra chapter 23, that's gonna be the last Wednesday in Emor. And Bamidbar chapter 28, Pinchas. So in Pinchas, you have all of the korbanot that are brought for that particular chag. Korban Musa. Everyone. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, everything. In Emor, you have all of the facts when there's an Issa Malacha, when you're not allowed to do Malacha. So that's Rosh Hashanah, it starts Pesach, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and the unique mitzvot of each chag. The sound of the shofar, your truah, to take a lulav and esrog, to live in a sukkah, to fast on Yom Kippur. That's the function of Emor. Now, if you read Tetzayin, there's only one parrot in Dvarim, there's only one there, one thing there. That it's at the end of the unit. Shalosh ta'amin vashana. You know this pasuk by heart, because we say every time we daven Musaf. Yera'eh kol zechurcha etnei Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yibchar. Good. That's the pasuk. Very nice. However, earlier in the parrot, the Torah talks about one korban. Only one. All of the other korbanot are in Pinchas. Every last one. There are dozens of korbanot on Chagig. Only the korban Pesach is spoken about here in chapter 16. And the reason why is because that the korban Pesach is your ticket of admission to the Har HaBayit. You want to come and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Pay your ticket of admission. And Korban Pesach is the statement that I make, that I identify with the Goral of Am Yisrael. I represent with the destiny, I join the destiny of Am Yisrael and acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intercedes in history on behalf of Am Yisrael. The whole world he controls, and specifically Am Yisrael. And it's as if it's saying, if you don't bring a Korban Pesach, you are denied entry into the Har HaBayit. We don't want you here. That is why it is the only Korban for which there is a makeup. There is no other Korban brought by Am Yisrael for which there is a makeup. In fact, the Gemara's phrases, Avar Zmano Batel Korbano. That's the popular phrase. Avar Zmano. The time passes, that's it. So if they didn't bring this morning's Korban, Tamid Shel Shachar, well, too bad. It's 11, it's 1 o'clock, it's after the morning. That's it. That Korban is dead. Can't bring two in the afternoon to make up one for the morning. There are no makeups of the Beis HaMikdash. You don't bring the Korban Musaf for Shabbos, you're finished. Only Korban Pesach has a makeup on the 14th day of the month of Iyar. Because of its significance of making a statement that I am prepared to join the lot of Am Yisrael. So, this Rabbi Eliezer says, you want to bring a Korban Pesach, you have to be in the right frame of mind. It's not just shafting a korban, sprinkling it, and eating a good piece of lamb. No, that's not what it is. It requires enormous commitment and at times sacrifice. Sacrifice on behalf of Am Yisrael. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, I am not prepared to make that commitment. Come back next month. Come back next month. And that, how does he learn that out, says Rabbi Yossi? Because of the little dot on the letter hey. So I drop the hey. I now read it Bilashon Zachar Rachok, in which case it's modifying the ish, no longer the derech. And that's why he says, against Rabbi Akiva, we don't paskin like him, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that in order to be disqualified, or in order to get an exemption, you have to be at a distance, past the distance, the equivalent of Modi in to Yerushalayim. We don't paskin. But anyhow, you got to understand his opinion. But that all comes from the dot. That's how he created his rather creative opinion. Go now to Parshat Nitzavim. Nitzav, this will be the last example that I'm going to give you. That is correct. That's what I said. If you don't have a legal exemption, that and Mila. Mila also. But Mila has a funny thing to it. You always have an opportunity to fulfill Mila. There's no time limit. Until the last day you drop dead.
Yeah.
So when you drop dead, you're chayv kares because you didn't do Mila. But until you're still alive, you can fulfill. By Korban Pesach, that's it. If you pass go on the 15th, 14th day of the month of Nisan, unless you have a good excuse, you're chayv kares. Yeah.
Can you use the excuse I wasn't ready?
No, that's Rabbi Lezer says I wasn't ready. We don't paskin like him. We, the world, the halachic world. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva, not like Rabbi Eliezer. Yes. It has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. Every Jew is chayav to being Korban Pesach. So if there would be a Beit HaMikdash, I should say it more carefully, you don't even need a Beit HaMikdash. You need a Mizbeach. That's all. You can bring, and there was discussions historically, several times, to reinstitute Korban Pesach, and there'll be more people talking about it today, because that's all you need. Every Jew will have to be on El Al, and they're going to find out about it, of course, and they're going to jack the price up to $10,000 a ticket. Because it's going to be so hard to get enough flights to Israel, everybody has to go and bring a Korban Pesach. Yes. And if you can't get there, we're certainly beyond Modi'in, so you'll have to be there this Sunday and bring a Pesach Sheni. If you don't, Chayv Kares. That's pretty serious. Yes.
I just have a question. Do the laws of Korban Pesach Sheni, are they the same as Pesach Rishon?
Okay, so the Mishnah in Pesachim has a whole litany of laws. Some of them are, some of them aren't. So for example, you have to eat matzah and maror with Pesach Sheni, but you're allowed to have a ring ding right next to you.
Aye.
Chametz imo babayis. So there are some yes, some no. Now, please take a look at chapter 29, verse 28 of Sefer Dvarim. Perek Chavtet, Pasuk Chavchet, the last Pasuk in Perek Chavchet, right before Revi of Parshat Nitzavim. A Pasuk that we say during Slichot and on Yom Kippur 10 times. Every time we say Vidui, we say this Pasuk. Hanistarot, Lashem Elokeinu. The reason why we say this pasuk is because one of the phrases that we conclude al-chait shechalav biyodim uvelo yodim. I don't even know about it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu hanistarot l'Hashem Elokeinu v'haniglot lanu ulevoneinu ad olam. But that which is not hidden, that which is open, we can comprehend. There are dots on every word of Lanu Ulevoneinu. Because everybody thinks they know what's happening. But really, even that which is Nigle is also Lashem Elokeinu.
Which pasuk is it?
Chavchet. The last pasuk of Perek Chavchet. It's the last pasuk of Perek Chavtet. Chapter 29, verse 28. The last pasuk. So on the words Lanu Ulevoneinu, there are dots. The dots are to tell us, don't take it seriously. We don't really know Nigle either. We might think we know it, but only the Rabbeinu Shel Olam knows that which has been exposed to us. And the hard reality is, we know that this comment that I just made is very true. We think we understand things, but we really don't understand anything. That's what's happening to the dots. Lamagain, back to Bereshis. Those are illustrations. Remember that.
It makes no difference because what you just read, we don't know.
I know.
Why is it on the iron also?
Which one? On the word owl? I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. Lamagain weiter. So, Nechama, your comment was made by the Rashbam about Ayeka. Take a look at the page 1. Hold on a second. I just wanted to finish the last word of the Rashi. Excuse me. Go back to the last line of the Rashi. After Kedei L'chab V'Avala, Omer Rabbi Yossi B'Reb Chanina, Kedei L'shager L'kos Shel Bracha. Why did they want to know where Sarah was? To send her a kos Shel Bracha. Rabbi Yossi operates on the notion that she, which factually is correct, obviously, that she was an Akara. And there is what is called a kos ikrin. The Gemara talks about a potential way of where somebody practices birth control. How did they practice birth control in the time of the Talmud? Sometimes the Gemara tells you to practice birth control. Under that it says, by drinking a certain potion, it's called a kos ikrin. Ayin, yud, kuf, resh, yud, nun. And comes from akara. It protects you from becoming pregnant. So Sarah obviously had ke'ein, a kos shel ikrin, because she hadn't given birth. So now I have to counter it with what? A kos shel bracha. That's what Rabbi Chanina says. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Now, take a look at the Rashbam on page number 1. Aye Sarah Ishtecha. Says, Afal Pi Shahayu Yodim, even though they knew exactly where Sarah was, Hayu Shoalim Kiderech Shematzinu Bishchina, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows answers. And he asks the question anyhow. Sha'amar la'adam, Ayeka, Avu binstu, where are you? Where are you? Now, the old joke on that phrase is that must be that Adam Arishon was a Yeka. Because had he been a Galatiana, he would have denied the whole thing, and there were no two witnesses. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't punish him. You need two witnesses to prosecute. But he was Ayeka. You had to admit that he ate the Sadas. Sahe Ayeka. That's what he is. Just like the other Yekas. So. What? They're too straight. I know. That's the old joke on Ayeka. As the Hayeka. Yeah. Continues. V'chein b'Bilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Bilam. Mi ha'na'ashim ha'ela imach? Who are these people who are with you? Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that they are Sarei Balak, the ministers of Balak. But he asked the question, because it's appropriate to ask the question. So it's a very simple upshot. Very simple. Now, take a look for a second at the bottom of the page, Chizkuni, who first quotes Rashi. And the second to the last line, he writes, "V'yeh haksav rabba al hanikuda nidrash." You have to read the ksav here first. The imkain, Hayamashma lefi hanira shishol betchila lisara ayei Abraham v'achar kain shoalu. It's on the next page towards the bottom. I forgot to bracket it. Chizkuni shoalu Abraham ayei Sara. They know kain. Here we are compelled, says Chizkuni, to read the pshat first, and it runs against the rule that Rashi just quoted. What was the rule that Rashi quoted? That if the dots on the letters are more than the dots that are not lettered, which do you have to read first?
The
dots.
First the dots.
Dara, if the dots outnumber the undots, you read the drash first. Says the Chizkuni, that makes very little sense. That would mean the first question that they asked was, they asked Sarah, where's Abraham? And then they asked Abraham, where is Sarah?
That makes
no sense at all.
He welcomed them in.
Exactly.
And they didn't.
So under those circumstances, even though Rashi quotes this as the rule, I'm telling you, ignore the rule here and read the... read it as if it had no dots at all, and be guided by the extra lamed, which now makes it a lav and not ayo. Because it just makes no sense whatsoever if we were to read the nikuda before the non nikuda. Makes no sense whatsoever. So that's how Chizkuni quotes Rashi, quotes the whole rule. Right, good. Next door, right across the Chizkuni, is the Radak. And he says something important. Vayomru elav, nakud alayo, ve'ein lanu ta'am b'nikudot, elashma shenimsa bidrashot. There is nothing according to pshat that I can offer, says the Radak, for the explanation of why there are dots in the Torah. According to the pshat, I cannot offer an intelligent suggestion why there are dots. Every single time you should be guided by what? By the drash. That's it. So from a pshat point of view, I throw in the towel and I said, you ask me why there are dots? The answer is, ich weiß nicht. I don't know. That's not so terrible either. If Rashi can tell us at times, Lo yadati lama huba, Rashi makes a comment and says, I don't understand what this pasuk is trying to teach me. And Rashi didn't have to say it, because he doesn't comment on every word of the Chumash. So he could have just skimmed by it and make us look like the idiots, but and create the impression that he knows exactly why it's there. But Rashi's intellectually honest. And when he doesn't understand why a difficulty, if there is a difficulty, he can't resolve it. He says, Lo yodati lama huba. I can't figure it out at all. So that's what he would say from a pshat point of view. Then he just quotes the rest of the Rashi, which is the drash. But again, from a pshat point of view, he is probably right, but it's very difficult since it happens so infrequently. Why did they select those couple of times? There's got to be something in there besides to indicate a drasha. Because for a drasha, we have then the whole Torah should have 58,000 dots. Because that's all we do is dash in the Torah. It's very difficult. Very difficult. Let's move on. Now, go to page 2, the bottom of page 2, and the Kli Yakar has a very interesting, it's not the Pshat,
page 3,
it's 3 and 4, correct? There were no Yankee names last two nights because of the rain out, so therefore I had to just put plain numbers. Yes, it pains me, yes. Ayei Sara Ishtecha. Pirush Rashi, Lehodia Shitznu'a Haita Kidei Lechabava Abal. We read that Rashi.
the kasha. He asks my question. V'chi ad achshav lo yada Avraham shetznuahi. You mean to tell me Avraham until this time had no idea that she was a very modest woman? The nira l'farish, l'fi sherotzeh lomar, sherotzeh lomar, shov ashuv elecha, mashma avolo elecha. When the next pasuk will read, it says, shov ashuv elecha, I will return to you, but not to her. Now, what does that mean? She's going to have a baby. So what does this mean, he's not returning to her? So he darshens and he continues. Yesh lochush, shema ba'avur zeh, yatil sin'ar aleha, lomar, shehi haita hasiba, asher mana Hashem mehem, pribata. Good. So this unfortunately happens when a couple is childless. Sometimes they look to blame one another. Yaakov certainly did that. When Rachel came to him, he says to her, don't blame me. Havali banim, I got plenty of kids. So it's your fault, obviously. Yaakov was not particularly nice to Rachel. People will try to defend her when we get up to it. But let's see what happens here. Al kain ra'a hamalach litakein zeh v'amar ayei sarah, page 4, bracketed, ishtecha. So now, let's just afal pi sheyada hamalach heichan hi, even though the malach knew exactly that she was in the kitchen, mikol makom amar, I ata mo'adeh shehi pa'ohel tamid machmat shehi tznu'ah. Why do you think she's in the kitchen? Is it not because you acknowledge her incredible modesty that she is always found in the kitchen? The inkein, vadai lo yikapeach la hakadosh baruch hu schar tzni'uta. God would never hold back any reward from Sarah simply on account of her modesty. Shahari Omru Rabbeinu Seinu Zal, Kol Kala Shehit Snu'a, Zocher V'yotzin Mimena Milachim, V'raya Mitamar, and so on and so forth. So now go to the next paragraph where he goes into his interpretation. Al kein libi omer shesheilat ayei ve'ayo eina sheila mikomit. It's not asking a question of what?
Location.
Lomar eifo hi, eifo hu ohi. Ela sheilat hamadregot. Ki lashon makom more al hamadrega. It has connotations of what level, what spiritual level are you? Velo sho'alu klal be'ezem makom hu, el sho'alu al makom madregasam uma'alasam bi'inyan ma'aseyem hatovim asher ba'avuram yizku shneihem lebein. He's saying, Aye, what level, what place is Avraham at now for which he will be deserving of my message? What's my message? Next year you're having a child. Also, that's Ayo. What level Avraham is at? And what level is Sarah at spiritually to be worthy of my bracha? What bracha is that? That both of you are having a child. So he, Kli Yakar, interprets the Ayeh question very much like you say in Kedusha. Ayeh Mikom Kivoto.
we're asked, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Everybody knows where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But it's looking for something unusual about the Makom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, where he can't be seen. That's the question. And the answer is, Baruch Kivod Hashem Mimikomo, which means, as the Rav always interpreted, we bless and acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he is hidden. We can't always know where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Sometimes there is Hester upon him, and terrible things happen. But we acknowledge his presence nonetheless. So here, Aryeh has nothing to do with Makom, but rather Makom on a spiritual level. And then the question is appropriate both ways. What midah did Avraham profess to warrant a child at this late age? Haknasas Arachim. That's why this story is given within the framework of Avraham's midah haknasas Arachim. Why couldn't the Malach just come in the middle of the ball game? Why do we have to come in this setting? It's to let you know that b'zechut haknasas Arachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now going to reward. And you want to know, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha, what level of her hitnahagut is now going to be the determining factor that we, the Malachim, are saying, Shov Ashuv Eilecha Ke'et Chaya Ulusara Bein, because of Ramidah of Tzni'ut. So it answers the question both ways, why the question is being asked. And also, you don't need Rashi's comment that, oh, Kidei L'chavava Al-Bala, none of that is necessary. It's not the pshat. But it is an interesting perspective which addresses several of the issues. Several of the issues.
The great, to me, the great issue would be the future of the Jewish people. Because you need Avram to have a son.
It could have been somebody else. Why did it have to be Avram? Okay, that's a debate. That's a debate. Okay, fine. Fine. So now let's just read the next pasuk and set up what's happening next week. So he says, Vayomer, Shov Ashuv Elecha Ko'et Chaya, Vehini Bein Misara Ishtecha. The Sarah Shomat Petacha Oel Vahu Acharav. I will return to you in another year, and Sarah will have a child, and Sarah was listening behind the door. So, having read the last pasuk, and now read this pasuk, what question do you want to ask? In light of the information provided in the previous bus, simple pshat point of view, tell me what question you want to ask. Yes?
She's in the tent.
What?
Why are you in the tent?
A better question.
She's in the tent, how can she hear what they're
saying? A better question.
Why couldn't he wait for her to come?
What?
Why couldn't he wait for her to come in?
Why didn't
he call her?
If he asks, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha, The inference should be that my message is going to be for her too.
Exactly.
I'm not just going to tell you, I'm going to tell her. But at least at first blush, they don't. They talk to him. And Sarah remains in the tent and just happens to hear what's happening from behind the tent. Pesach Oel. They're outside, apparently. Where are they? Tachat ha'eitz. That's where they are. Still under the tree. And so why did they ask Ms. Sarah? If they had no intention of bringing her into the dialogue, what did they ask me for? So that's one thing that we have to ask. And secondly, if that is indeed what happened, why wouldn't they want to tell Sarah, at least at the same time, Or what? At least the Torah should tell us. Oh, I gotta go inside and tell Sarah. There was no such indication that in the next pasuk. So Sarah Shemas Pesach Oel and Batitzchak Sarah Bikar Balei Mar Vayomer Hashem El Avram Lama Zetzachak Sarah. Not once did the Malachim go and find Sarah.
Yes.
It doesn't say here anywhere that Abraham's going to have son. It says she's going to have the son.
Okay, that is true. That is true, but it's somehow implied. That is true, somewhat implied, but it's a good point. Doesn't say it. I grant you that. Yeah.
The Shema makes it very fascinating.
Mm-hmm. No active. Exactly. That's my question. Why would there be no attempt by the Malachim, especially if they're not? What?
She somehow already know.
She didn't know anything. In fact, was this any real news for Abraham?
No.
He was told this by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of the Brit Milah. We read it in Parshat Lech Lecha.
Right.
So the Malachim are coming here to reiterate something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told Abraham, and the main new person to them, they just ignore her.
Of course.
See you next week, same time, same station. And you don't even have to wait till next year, like all these shows. The end of the season. It's the end of the season. You got to wait till September to find out the answer.
Yeah, but there was an email from the Halakhic Organ Donor Society that lists you as the first rabbi to sign up.
Yes, not the first. I was one of 18. The first 18. It was the 18th birthday. Yes, yeah.
When was that?
I don't remember. It was 18 years ago, they say. So that was the 18th birthday.
I wanted to show you what I was talking about. A few weeks ago, we came across the word "not."
Right, you told me.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So look how they
translate.
Please bring me.
Save me now.
Success now. Right. And I had asked you. I said, doesn't it seem like that it doesn't not also mean now? And you said no. And I went back here and I said, well, why are they writing now?
Did you find a Chumash, a text in Tanakh?
Okay, yes.
Let me hear.
So here.
Ayei no Eloheya.
Cannot mean please.
Right.
Okay. So how
they
interpret it as
where
now.
Is their God now?
Okay. Wait.
You
this
got
is
me.
What I found
yes.
by learning
to him.
Which can't mean please, right? So here what it says. Now does not mean at this time. It's a particle in force of question. Where, pray, is there God? Like, pray tell. Where, pray.
Let me know. So that's more akin to the petition.
It's not even a petition. It's like, where, pray, is there God? Like, it's not, yes.
I'm
petition.
Begging you to please reveal.
Or, yeah.
Reveal, where are their gods?
Where now is their God?
Right.
Pray tell, where,
right.
where mm-hmm. now is their God? So, this interpretation in the Machzor is really misleading. Because if we're reading it, we always think of now as time.
Right.
And they're saying here...
That it's not.
That it's not
right.
time. So that's really an incorrect interpretation.
I would not be surprised if it's incorrect.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think that this makes sense.
Yes, yeah, it does.
This old little Sensino.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So that was my...
Very nice. Beautiful.
Okay.